So let's read. My wife says, "Oh, I thought he was talking about Daniel Rodriguez." So I think that every Daniel should. This Daniel should be their hero. But we're going to read this morning, and Daniel in the Bible is my second favorite person from the Bible. The Lord Jesus is my first. Anyway, a happy New Year. This message was prepared for the first Sunday, and I bumped myself, standing in here, so it was coming, and then I bumped myself again, and whenever I got the opportunity, it fits, because it doesn't matter if we're in December, we're always looking for a new year. And I, even though I entitled this New Year, New Year, I took that actually from the Fellowship of Christians, and actually at Kilmer, we actually did a study on this, and that was their theme, and I liked it, and we'll use it. You know, with the beginning of every new year, people like to have the new beginning by making resolutions. And I have no doubt some people here, you've started the new year making resolutions. You're determined to become a better person or even a new person. The desire to change something in your life, to improve upon or maintain a specific behavior that they believe would be good for their lives, becomes the very focus as they begin a new year. Does that sound familiar? Well, I looked up I looked up what some people consider the top 10. So David Letterman, top 10, we'll start from 10. Supposedly the top 10 of course, these aren't believers. These are just, could be believers, could be pagans, who knows. But we'll start with number 10. Number 10, spend more time with family. It's a good resolution. Number 9, to fall in love, true love. Okay, number 8, helping others in their dreams. To help others in their dreams. Number 7, to quit smoking, and you really should. Okay, number 6, to learn something exciting. To learn something exciting. Number 5, to stay fit and healthy. To stay fit and healthy. Number 4, to enjoy life to the fullest. Which should be what we would like to do every day. But number 3, to spend less and save more. Spend less and save more. Number 2, to get organized. Honey, that's from the Love household right there. To get organized. Okay, and number 1, guess what number 1 is? Come on.
Lose weight.
Every year, number 1 resolution is to lose weight. Now, a resolution is a process of having a fixed purpose in one's life. It's to resolve to do something. And so I was thinking, what does the scripture say about resolutions? Well, it really doesn't, but there's many things that can be said that we've been exhorted to do and encouraged to do as Christians that we should resolve to do. We should make resolutions concerning what God has told us to do. There's probably no character in the Bible who made a New Year resolution, but we're obviously going to be talking about Daniel and his friends, and they were in a new place, a new location, a new beginning, and they made a new resolution. So we'll be looking primarily at them, and we'll, like George says, if you haven't studied Daniel, then you need to really study the book of Daniel and his life as well as others in the book of Daniel. Brief background, I'm not going to go back, but understand that Nebuchadnezzar was given by the Lord Jerusalem. The Jews were disobeying God, and God used Nebuchadnezzar, a pagan king, to conquer them. And he took captive those he wanted to put into service. And even though this passage is for everybody, kids, pay attention. Because Daniel was a youth. He was a youth. It doesn't say what age he was, whether he was 12 years old or whatever he was, 14, 16. He was a youth. Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael were youths. Now, for the rest of us, you know, then it's not to us. No. This, you look at Daniel, this purpose, this resolution he made is for each one of us. They were taken captive, and can you imagine taken from your home, your families, and taken away in the service of a total strange country, didn't speak the language, had to be taught the language, had to be taught a number of things, what your spirit would be. And again, it goes right along with Matthew 5, in my opinion, the spirit that Daniel and those other three friends would have to have would be of one of acceptance of what God had allowed in their lives. We're going to be looking to see what their response is and what their resolution is. Let's just ask the Lord again for his guidance. Father, we're thankful for this opportunity to open your word to study, to show ourselves approved. Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for Daniel and his example to us in his life and his purpose and how you used him to glorify yourself. And I pray that you would teach us this morning. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our minds. That we'd make strong resolve to glorify you. The words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you turn back in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 1. Again, the key verse in this whole chapter is chapter 8. Understand, again, Daniel is being trained to enter the king's personal service. You know, his resolution became, you know, it started saying in verse 8, Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself. Then King James says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself with the king's meat and the king's wine. Now, if you stop and think, it starts with Daniel, but it goes on as though the four of them have made this purpose. They couldn't defile themselves at the king's meat. Now, the king had brought them in, and it wasn't like he was offering them dog food. He was offering them his best, what he would eat, what he would drink. This was a compliment. They were getting what no one else could get. But for the Jews, the meat was unclean. It wasn't prepared, you know, according to Mosaic law. It was unclean. The types of meat, it was probably from the hoof and et cetera, et cetera. The wine was unclean. So they purposed that they wouldn't defile themselves. Now that Daniel made this purpose, he needed to get back to where he belonged. So he and his friends ran away back to Jerusalem, where they lived holy and righteous lives unto the Lord. Right? No, thank you. No. He didn't run away from the confrontation. Didn't run away from the problem. Well, plan two. Daniel and his friends demanded of the king their rights, that they could eat whatever they chose because of religious reasons. And they should have a religious exemption. They shouldn't have to eat this food. Is that what Daniel did? No. It said Daniel's purpose in his heart not to defile himself, so he sought permission of the commander of the officials. He sought permission. In other words, he submitted first to God because he purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself. He made up his mind he wouldn't defile himself, and then he asked permission of the authority there. Second key, God gave him favor and compassion in the eyes of the commander. Why did he give Daniel favor? Because first, Daniel was honoring him. He was honoring God. Second, he did what he's supposed to do. He submitted to the authority, but he requested of them. You know, we as Christians first submit ourselves to our Heavenly Father, our heavenly authority, in order to please him. But many times, we try to take matters into our own hands. We try to do it our way. You see across our nation, and I'm not going to bring politics into this, but you see across our nation, many people using Christianity as a vice to get across their point. I'm not going to judge them and say it's wrong. I've had friends say, come door to door with me, and I said, I'll pray for you. I'll pray because the Lord's in control. We need to submit to our earthly authority in order to put to the test our work before God and before them. Each of us has to examine our lives. You know, we just sang, search me, O Lord, and search me, O God, and cleanse my heart today. Try me, O Savior, and know my heart, I pray. We're asking God daily to examine our lives, to see if our resolve is one of undistracted devotion to him, as we purpose to please him, as we purpose not to be defiled by him. Now, his resolution, his resolve, his purpose not to defile himself, what was that based on? It was based on his faith in God. God is a rewarder of those who trust him, isn't he? Let's stop for a moment to address that faith. You know, Hebrews 11 says what? Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Daniel believed in the God of heaven and believed that all wisdom and power belonged to him. Do we believe that? Do we believe in the same God that Daniel believed in? We as Christians, by faith, believe in the same God, that same God of heaven so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Daniel didn't have that privilege. Even though God gave him the privilege to look ahead, he didn't have the privilege to know that there was a Savior for him. He just had the same faith that we had. Having that faith, we as Christians are called not to defile ourselves. We are, as Christians, are called to walk in his light. You know, it was ironic. The men met yesterday and had a good study, a good time of fellowship in 1 Peter 2. And keep your fingers in Daniel, but turn to 1 Peter 2 because that's a parallel passage. And I just smiled and told Chris, the Lord was just preparing things. 1 Peter 2, we studied 13 to 25. I was already looking at 13 to 16. We are exhorted to prepare our minds for action. Verse 13 says, prepare your minds for action. The King James says, gird up your mind. In other words, we talked about the fact is, if you gird up the garments, you gird up things so there's nothing in your way as you walk or as you run. When you gird up your mind, you are doing the same thing as Daniel purposed in his heart. You are having a focus. So you're preparing your mind, you're preparing your resolve to please God. It says, prepare your minds and put up your minds for action. Be sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now Daniel, again, didn't have that revelation just yet. We have the revelation of Jesus Christ. We had to fix our eyes on him. It says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance. In other words, don't be defiled by your former lust. Now, you kids, your parents are trying to train you up so you don't, or you aren't defiled. They don't want you watching certain things. They don't want you reading certain books. They're trying to guard you because they don't want your mind defiled by this world. We are called to train up our children in the way they should go. We don't want them defiled. Eventually, every child here will have to make a decision to either purpose in their heart not to be defiled by this world and follow after the Lord Jesus or disobey God. Daniel, as a youth, without his parents there, made a purpose in his heart. And 1 Peter says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to your former lusts. The picture is so clear. The ties into Daniel. It says, like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior, because as it is written, you should be holy as I am holy. Again, how is that done? Practically by fixing your eyes on the hope you have. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2 is another parallel passage which says, and how to do this. How do you purpose in your heart? How do you gird up your mind for action? It says, laying aside, so it says, but therefore seeing you're encompassed by so great a cloud of witnesses. Go back and read Hebrews 11. You see all these great examples of faith, of which Daniel is one, by the way. It says, you're surrounded by these great cloud of witnesses. It says, lay aside the weight and the sin which easily besets you. Lay aside the weight. Now the sin, there's outright sin. And boys and girls and men and women, we know outright sin. I think some people get confused with the gray areas. The weights. The weights that entangle us. The weights that don't allow us to gird up our minds. They stop us from purposing that we won't be defiled. They stop us from purposing to please and honor the God of heaven. It says, lay aside the weights and the sin which easily beset us. Let us run with endurance. Run with endurance. The race is set before you. How? Fixing your eyes on Jesus. the author and perfecter, or the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy before him endured the cross. Endured the cross or shame. I don't want to misquote it.
Despising the shame thereof.
The author of perfection, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Thank you. Okay, endured the cross, despised the shame, has sat down. And that's how a good practical example how we're to purpose in our hearts, how we're to resolve not to be defiled. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, no matter where we are. No matter whether we're at home, no matter whether at school, in our neighborhoods, at work, on the computer, reading a book, going to a movie, what we put before our eyes. You know, I like, hopefully you don't mind me sharing this, Daniel, because I'm going to anyway. Daniel shared that in his job, he's a federal agent. And I won't say the specific location. Okay, that if he's chasing a bad guy, and the bad guy runs into a very bad place, then Daniel shouldn't go in. Daniel will send his other agents in. But wait a minute, you're defiling them too, Daniel. There's no way. I didn't think about that. He'll send the agents and he will not go in because he doesn't want his eyes defiled. Good principle. Do each of us have that purpose not to defile ourselves? To be holy as he's holy. Okay, turning back to Daniel. You know, he fixed his eyes on the purpose of not defiling himself. And to find out is that we as Christians are to be like Daniel. We're not being to be conformed, but we live in a world that tries to do everything to defile us. What's in this world? 1 John chapter 2, we won't go there for a second time. It says, all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. Now, all this can defile us because it's from the world, and it's not from the Father, and it's passing. But if you're sitting here this morning, and you don't have this faith in the God of heaven, you don't have this faith in Jesus Christ who gave his life for you, you're still dead in your sins. There's no way you can remain undefiled. You could be the nicest person in the world. You could be the one, I'm going to be pure, just like God's pure, but you don't have a chance. Each one of us has to come to a point where we cry out and say, what must I do to be saved? Now I know I'm speaking mainly to believers. I never assume there's a non-believer not here. But just in case there's someone here who has not trusted the Lord Jesus, that faith in the Lord Jesus saves. You cannot be clean and saved by your own good works. You can only be holy as he is holy when we believe. Then we're cleansed and we're personally sanctified before the mighty God. And that sanctification is a positional sanctification. It's forever. When God looks at us, he doesn't see Tori LaBeouf. He sees Jesus Christ. Because I'm saved. I trust in the Lord to save me. But practically, we as Christians still need to be daily sanctified, set apart. And here, Daniel purposes his heart not to be defiled for that very reason. He wanted to be practically sanctified. What a great resolution. What a great resolve. Now, keep each of us here purpose in our hearts not to be defiled by the world and to seek God's help with this resolve. Because we can't do it on our own. Even as we talked in Matthew 5 about some of the more difficult things. Someone hits you, turn the other cheek. It's really hard for LaBeouf to do. Someone says, can you give me $20? Give him 40. Someone says, I like that shirt. You give him the shirt and the undershirt. Hard things. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can we purpose not to walk? Can we purpose to walk in the light and walk in the Spirit so that we won't be defiled by the world? Can we purpose to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves? Is it enough to make up our minds not to be defiled by the world? In other words, okay, each of us sits here and says, we won't take an oath, Matt. We say, I make this resolution that I'm not going to be defiled by the world. Is that enough? No. It's to feel a strong resolution, not to be defiled. Believers need to be in fellowship with the saints. They need to attend the meetings of the church to be strengthened by teaching, fellowship, and prayer. Right? Right? Sounds good. Because the Bible says not to neglect meeting together. This is a practical application. Some of the brothers shared yesterday how important it was to have fellowship with brothers, not to be alone. But to resolve a purpose in our hearts should not allow ourselves just to attend the meetings of the church. Just to listen to the messages and talk about what we know we should be doing without doing just that. Now, Chris asked me last meeting, you talking about understanding it or doing it? It's doing it. We can all understand our purpose not to be defiled and to please God is sure. To do it is a difficult thing. It's not enough for us to say, what a great message. Wow, let's talk about it. The true purpose of the heart is found in saying, I will do something about what I heard. Purposing in our hearts and making up our minds should provoke our minds and our will to action, to affirmation. You know, this week, I think it was at Bill McDonald, the devotional. He was talking about he heard a preacher that was preaching, and halfway through the message, he said, he stopped his message, he said, what was the first song we sang? No one in the congregation knew. He said, what was the scripture that had been read? No one in the congregation knew. What were the announcements made? Give me one announcement that was made. No one knew. The people were playing church. Now, I know we could do that here and that wouldn't happen. Okay, now, could it happen to some of us? Perhaps. So we say, well, my mind's not that sharp. Well, the thing is that many times people go to a building, to a church, and they play church. But going to church itself does not allow you to establish that purpose. Perhaps before each meeting, we might ask ourselves, why did I come? Why am I here? Am I willing to have God speak to me personally? Am I willing to obey Him when He does? You know something to say, if He does. God speaks to you through a variety of things. He speaks to you when someone shares with you, a brother or sister. He speaks to you when you read the Bible. Every time you read the Bible, are you asking, are you listening for God's voice? Are we listening to hear what He's saying? Are we willing to obey Him? If we are, then we're with Daniel. We're purposing in our heart, Lord, search me. Show me what you want me to do. Now, in the first Peter 2 passage, we read that believers are to be holy as God is holy. You know, holy is the opposite of someone that's defiled. Holy, defiled, it's opposites. And it's not an easy choice. But if we don't resolve, we can't. If we don't make that resolution first to do it by the Spirit's power, and again, you can't do it on your own, then you will be defiled. We will fall. You know, two examples of godly people. David was a man after God's own heart. David loved the Lord. But when he wasn't in the right place, what happened to his heart? He messed up bad. And the sin with Bathsheba incurred. He had a man killed. He became an adulterer and a murderer and covered it all up. This was a man after God's heart. So there's no one here that should say, I'm strong. My purpose before the Lord is sure. You have to have a daily, consistent walk with the Lord in order to make this purpose and to keep the purpose. What happens when we're not purposing to please God? We're going to come back to Solomon, by the way. Not purposing to remain undefiled by the world. We became the very ones who seems dressed with garments of salvation on the outside, but we're actually dressed with the false religion of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes. We're playing church. And unfortunately, you know, the Bible says, without vision, the people perish. Without purpose, believers perish. I don't mean they lost, they lose their salvation. I mean what's going to happen is that their light, their ministry will be like some of the churches in Revelation. It will be dim. They'll be ineffective believers. And they'll stumble other people. I'm going to play a short video. And for some of you older folks, don't be stumbled by this video. I don't agree with everything the young man says. You young ones will really like it. But the message is clear because in one sense it has nothing to do with this message. And one other thing, it has everything to do. As you watch it, ask yourself, what is my purpose as a believer? What's my purpose as part of this local church? What's my part, my purpose as part of the universal church? So we'll watch the video, then we'll come back and finish up. Someone put my back in here.
Because when Jesus said, "It is finished," I believe he meant it.
Now, we could spend time going over that. Can someone come put a book in front of that table or something? Thank you. And understand, again, the young man said, I hate religion. No, and you understand he's probably dealing with the religion of the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees. Please understand that pure, true religion is good. It's a faith being put into practice by taking care of the widows and orphans, and the practical application of what Daniel did, even in purposing in his heart not to defile himself. The religion we just heard about is a false religion, one of pride. But again, as we examine ourselves, what's our very purpose as believers? Now, we could talk about making resolutions or purposing concerning walking a way that pleases God. But if we have a self-righteousness, we get contaminated by that pride and by the depravity found in the world. And then we've seen from Daniel that by faith in God, we can resolve or make up our minds not to defile ourselves. But we have to rely on Him. You see that through Daniel, through in the book of Daniel. If you read the whole book, in Daniel chapter 1, you finish the chapter. Daniel purposes his heart not to defile himself. What happens? He seeks permission, asks for a test. They put him to the test, and God gave him favor, and he was allowed not to defile himself. He's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they were given positions of honor before that king. Chapter 2, you see Daniel going to be executed along with every other wise man because Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that couldn't be interpreted. And Daniel went before the God of heaven and was given that dream. And Daniel said, let the name of God be blessed forever. Wisdom and power belong to him. Daniel knew who his God was. We have to have that close relationship with God. In Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I, Azariah, and Mishael, they were put to the test. And they said, you know, our God is able to deliver us, but if He chooses not to deliver us, we will still not worship your gods. We will still not be defiled by worshiping your gods. And each one of us has to make that purpose. We have to know the God we love and serve and not allow ourselves to be defiled. You can go on and on through the book of Daniel, which is a great example to us. But we need help in all this. God's help. We can't do it on our own, as I've been saying. You know, what would you do if God came to you and said, ask me what you wish. Ask me whatever you want to give you. I'm going to give you anything I want. What are you going to ask for? Are you going to ask for help at your job? Are you going to ask for friends, for good health, for any of these top 10 resolutions, for riches, for food, true love? What would you ask for? Would you ask for fame, for possessions, and on and on? Or would you ask for something that went along with the purpose we just talked about? You turn quickly in your Bibles, we'll end with this, 1 Kings chapter 3. This is Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 3. The one thing about Solomon, he loved the Lord. We'll start at verse 4. It says in verse 3, Solomon loved the Lord and walked in the statutes of his father David, accepting sacrifice and burnt incense on the high places. A little bit of defilement there, but the king went to Gibeah. The sacrifice there for that was the great high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. In Gibeah, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night and said, ask what you wish me to give you. Just what I asked you all. And Solomon said, you have shown great loving kindness to your servant, according to as he walked before you in truth and righteousness of the heart toward you, and you have reserved for him this great loving kindness. You've given him a son to sit on his throne. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in the place of my father David. Yet I am but a little child. He was humble. He was humble before God. He recognized himself who he was. I do not know how to go out or come in. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? And it was pleasing in the sight of God, in the sight of the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. And you know the rest of the story. God gave him that, plus he gave them everything else. You know, Solomon asked for wisdom. The purpose in your heart to please God, the purpose in your heart not to be defiled, we have to ask for wisdom in our lives. Solomon asked for that wisdom to discern which is good and evil. Remember we talked about weights? The difference between weights and sin? We have to ask for wisdom. What weight, what will weigh me down? It's not necessarily sin. It can become sin, a weight can become a sin, but it might be just something that interferes with our fixing our eyes on Jesus. Discern the difference. If we are to resolve our purpose in our heart not to be defiled by this world and all its passing pleasures, we need to ask for that wisdom. You know, 1 John 5 says, this is the confidence we have of Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we've asked of Him according to His will. We have the same promise that God gave Solomon. Even more because we could ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. God's wisdom will allow us to keep that resolve to be righteous. Will allow us the purpose in our heart that whatever we put before our eyes will be discerned to be good. God's wisdom will not allow us to allow bad influence in our lives to weigh us down. God's wisdom will help us better understand and desire His laws, which are perfect and true and righteous altogether. So here we are in 2012, and the Lord hasn't come yet. But He's coming soon. Perhaps as a body here, we can resolve not to divide ourselves in this world, but like to be like a city on a hill that lets its light shine so that the people can see our good works and glorify God. Sang in the Sunday school, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And then we sang in this meeting, another year of mercies, of faithfulness and grace, another year of gladness, the shining of His face. Another year of progress, another year of praise, another year of proving Thy presence all Thy days. Let's pray. Father, thankful for this reminder to us to make up our minds, to purpose, to resolve to please You. To please You with our walk of faith. To please You with not being defiled by this world. To please You so we don't have a religious facade. We have true and undefiled religion in our lives because we believe in Your Son, the Lord Jesus. And I pray for every child here, every youth, young people, young married, middle-aged, older people, that even this day we would purpose to please You. Help us, O Lord. Give us Thy wisdom to enable us to do this, to discern that which is between good and evil. Again, we thank You for this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for your attention.